Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this week Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
A self-taught scientist, John Hutchison, reports to have accidentally stumbled onto a collection of phenomena now known as the Hutchison Effect during attempts to study the longitudinal waves of Tesla back in 1979. Some of the effects produced include levitation of heavy objects, metals turned into jelly, and the spontaneous fracturing of metals. The Hutchison effect has been documented both on film and videotape and has been witnessed many times by numerous credentialed scientists and engineers. That, of course, goes on even through today.
Oh, yeah.
The website is www.hutchisoneffectonline.com, which, of course, is permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, it's been there for a long time.
It's been there for a while, and it'll be there for a while longer till we take our site down, which will be decades and hundreds of years from now.
We'll have other slags come in here and do this show, and we're dead.
Right, exactly. This is not the first time. John is no stranger to Ghostly Talk, so welcome back, John.
Well, thank you, kind sirs. It's a pleasure to be back. One little correction about the website. That one is gone now.
This is why I need to update my list and stuff like that. Now I can update my list. Sorry about that, John. What's the new website?
Oh, it's actually www.hutchisoneffect.ca, and that one I'm not sure if it's going to last too long, but I use Blogger, actually, for posting all the newest, latest, greatest information on what I'm doing.
Okay.
And that's http://johnkhutchison.blogspot.com.
Ooh, I like that.
John K. Hutchison. You know, it's a crazy day when John Hutchison's got his own blog. I have to say.
Oh, you're right. You got that right. I mean, I have maybe getting close to 50 different sections on that Blogger, covering everything from alternative health to my latest experiments.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And, well, what do you think about blogging?
I'd like to hear this from the man himself.
An interesting phenomena in and of itself. But to hear, you know, John Hutchison's like, oh, yeah, I've got a blog.
It's cool.
How cool is it? Like, what do you get out of blogging?
Well, I'd use it basically as a website. I just download photographs and descriptions and emails and letters and stuff. It's like a virtual filing cabinet. That's what I use it for. I just wish you could get it onto mainstream Google.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And get it out there, and I was thinking of getting a web hoster like GoDaddy or somebody to take it somehow and link it in. But it's like I got so much stuff there,
mm-hmm.
pictures and demonstrations and weird effects and mm-hmm. metal samples, with tons of stuff there that it's better than the website itself, which is nothing much there, really.
Right.
Well, you know,
because the blog contains everything, so just. If you had a website that just said, oh, go read the blog because it's got everything, mm-hmm. that's pretty much all you need.
Well,
to
we're seeing
at.
This oh, yeah. shift now, you know, and like Blogspot's a good example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing this shift whereas, like, you know, a couple of years, well, 3-4 years ago, you know, pretty much people were doing their own exclusive websites. I mean, that's what we have, our own ghostlytalk.com, right? I mean, you have your own website, but I'm seeing this is just me. I'm seeing this shift when people, a lot of, you know, like, you know, shows or whatever it may be, artists, even people like yourself, John, who they're just kind of moving away from having their own website that they have to administer all on their own, and they may even have to hire a webmaster or something like that.
Well, that's the thing. The Blogspot people will keep the they'll keep the site, you know, up to date.
Yeah, they're the one, they administer the website.
Sure that, they'll make sure that the code all works.
And
if a server goes down, they're in it, you know, 4 a.m. replacing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if a hard drive goes bad, they're in swapping out an old one, putting in a new one.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, it's very, very convenient.
They do all the administration work as opposed to us here at Ghostly Talk, where we're up at 1 o'clock in the morning
sometimes.
Going, why isn't the page loading? What's going, you know, but that's the shift I'm seeing, though, is, you know, people are using, you know, there's these big, huge websites now that people are moving to. It's like Satan's website itself, you know, and there's all the, like, the Facebooks and all these things. And people are using these as their websites now to talk about their information. And it makes a lot of sense, I guess, because that's where everybody's at.
And obviously, John, you said yourself, it keeps it organized.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
presents everything. It's like a big filing cabinet. You can put it up there and the world can go through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's easy to use, extremely easy to use. You can download video, also pictures, and you can put comments in, or just put letters or emails or even scan stuff, documents and that, and put it into the different bloggers.
I think we're on the wrong track here. We just need to quit paying out hundreds of dollars every month to run
to
our...
tear that down.
Yeah, we need to tear that and just
put up a blog spot.
Put up a Blogspot page and then be done with it. Here's our new show. Download it.
I love that idea.
We might do that. It's an idea.
We'll put Bonnie in charge. Bonnie, we're going to put you in charge of that.
Okay, good.
There we go.
Okay, good.
John, you, per usual, you know, and... For newer listeners, maybe people that just start listening to the show, John actually spent a lot of time on his show last year.
I want to tell a story, too, real quick, because there are new listeners, and,
right.
and I know that because I get their emails, but the, and welcome. The, wow, this is going back to...
Once upon a time, let's start
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, once upon a time, because I am very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, as a matter of fact, the very first listener to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was we know exactly who it was, because it was listened to one computer by two people, a friend of mine and his wife, and both friends of mine.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me, and he goes, "You'll never guess what I found online. I found these amazing videos." Now, this was back in the day when dial-up, you know, at home you had dial-up modems, but at work you could have a faster connection, that
kind of
thing. And we worked together, and he says, "You've got to download these videos and watch them."
Yeah.
And it was old technology, let's say, because you had to load up special players and codecs,
and
it was just insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, I got it all situated, downloaded the videos, and opened it up, and he goes, "How do you think this can happen? How is you know, because it was a video, John, of it had to be one of the earliest ones where that was released by I think a TV crew kind of bunch that had visited you, and it was it showed things like things were levitating in this little cube.
My favorite is always the lead ball.
There's things levitating. There's a nail sort of just drove itself into a piece of wood or maybe into a piece of metal. I don't remember, but it just sort of like went in. Like it just went, there we go. it was just insane stuff. And things were warping and bending and levitating. And so we're talking 12 years ago or so, or 10 years ago, and this was available online. Like, you know, I'm sure somebody yanked it from whatever film crew, you know, was doing that or filming it, and I read the story and I thought, this is absolutely incredible. You can use power, you can use electricity and fields and things like that to change the property of matter. It's just insane. And then, of course, when you think about it, it's like, you know, matter and energy, same thing.
Same thing,
just, you know, different forms. And so I sort of, like, just brushed the surface, filed that away, and then here it is, like, you know, a decade later or more, and you're still doing this stuff. I think it's amazing.
Well, it pays well when the film crews come through. They give me $1,000 for 5 to 10 minute, maybe 15 minute spot on Discovery Channel Networks or Fox or whoever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not quite footage from my producer.
It's not quite a living wage, though, but it does help finance more...
more research.
More research.
Well, yes, and living, too. So
cool.
I decided to really just simply carry all of this stuff into the entertainment industry.
Mm. Oh, I like that. But the thing is,
sure.
is people have done this. People have gone into the entertainment industry with less.
Yeah, a lot less.
A lot less. Mm. Because you've researched this. You've performed this for a long time. You've understood this, or at least tried to, since 1979. And it's like, wow, I'm still impressed. I'm still amazed.
Yeah.
And I'm still very, very happy that, you know, to get to talk to you. But what do people say nowadays? Because I remember back 10 years ago, they were saying, okay, this is completely not understandable, and I'm scared of it, so it's got to be, like, just something
freaky.
The work
of the devil. The work of the devil.
That's it. It's got to be the work of the devil. So, so you know, it has nothing to do with just hooking up a bunch of transformers and changing power and then, you know, nothing to do with that. It's just absolutely mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And then they run away, you know. Well, what are people saying now? Is it more scientific now? Are the scientists really looking? Are the film crews really interested? Is this catching on, the Hutchison effect?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I've got a few offers from the U.S. Pentagon to join their team.
Excellent.
But I didn't really want to go that way. And then who else contacted? The Navy Department, NASA, and I'm always contacted by a lot of different folks in that area. Then the TV people, they come and go. Film the stuff, National Geographic TV and Film. We're here along with, there was a Fox Group. Japanese, Chinese, TV mm-hmm. crews, so average about 10, 12 a year. Motion Picture Productions, which did Earth's Black Holes, is airing on History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of film crews at Congo, and I do a lot of radio shows, of course. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of interest in this right now. And I get a lot of emails, all positive. None of the skeptics seem to want to email me for some unknown reason, but that's okay.
You're fortunate.
You're fortunate. Yeah, you're very fortunate.
We can email.
Well, one of my main shows, Griffin Productions, they aired Beyond Invention, and I'm kind of the spearhead for that show. It covers other topics like Kimmy Ventura's anti-gravity technology
mm-hmm.
with lifters and that,
mm-hmm.
and other things. But I was about 25 minutes into that, and it aired on Discovery Channel. First time in the U.S., and the website hit over a few days, a million hits hit it.
I believe
so that.
That
was,
I believe that. That's the power
yeah, so
of such cable TV. Oh, man.
So the popularity in that, it's growing pretty good to the point where this producer friend of mine, who I've known for about 3.5 years at Fox Television. His team, they definitely want to get this onto mainstream Fox TV, and they're going to call it the Hutchison Effect TV series.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm sitting there tuned in already.
So this is going to be, obviously, you said a TV series. This is going to be multiple shows, then. This isn't just going to be one show.
It's going to be multiple shows. I'll be doing Levitation. I'll be doing the Free Energy, the Philadelphia Experiment. Plus
mm.
many, many other strange things, the Ark of the Covenant.
Wow.
That hasn't aired yet on Discovery. I finished that up a couple of years ago with Blue Book Films.
Mm-hmm.
The one-hour special for Discovery Channel Networks. I think it might air. It was well done. Good crews, good team. Had a good team, and the Ark of the Covenant did work.
Mm-hmm. When they come to you, when the film crew comes to you, are they usually already convinced? Like, have they gone online and seen this stuff, or are they just like, "Eh, I got a job to do," and then all of a sudden, you know, you energize something and it does and it freaks. Do they get freaked out, or do they just? Is it a job? What are their? I want to know. You know, like everyday
yeah.
Joe's reaction.
Well, the film people, they're actually very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. No complaints. Nancy O'Donnelly of National Geographic thought that since her hair was starting to rise, she got concerned, and they all stopped filming and said, are we all going to be okay in here? I said, yes, no problem. So we continued that. It's a show called Bermuda Triangle. Is it real? Mm-hmm. But the news people, the TV people, they actually like filming. And the Japanese, they get excited about it. The newscasters, they get excited about it. So, no, I think very enthusiastic. And
so, and do they usually come to you already having read about it, or is this their first experience and they're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, with the news people, they usually research it out, and as well as the others, they do a research on it. Then they will email me or phone me and say they want to come up and film.
So they're curious when they first arrive, and then they're probably completely wowed.
Yeah,
when they after they've
filmed. Yeah, they have normally a very good, very very good film shoot.
And when you started investigating Tesla's theories. Okay, that's how it started, with the longitudinal waves of Tesla, right? The story of him being able to transfer the energy through the Earth, kind of thing. Is that what it started with?
You know, basically, him and a few other old timers way, way back doing very interesting things. So that triggered me to start replicating this stuff.
What did you think would happen? Did you? I imagine it probably wasn't a whole Hutchison effect. You probably thought, oh, I might be able to get it, or I might not be able to get it.
Let me try some things here.
I want to try this. And, I mean, was it just experimentation for experimentation's sake, and then wow, this happened?
Well, with me, I'm engineering anything, actually, either from making cannons to machining out machine tools themselves, or many other things I work with. So this was just something that has... I like doing is replicating a lot of the old technologies, and I had no plans of actually even thinking of anti-gravity. And when this effect did happen, I was not actually surprised. I was just sort of, well, this is kind of weird.
Well, that's one thing.
Really didn't talk about it to anybody until somebody mentioned it, and I brought it up, and they got excited, and brought in other people.
Mm-hmm.
Then those people themselves, they said, well, this is important, John. You got to keep doing this, and... They named it the Hutchison effect. I did not. So
that is so cool.
Well, when we were having our Philadelphia experiment discussions, God, earlier part of 2007, we were still doing those.
Right.
We talked a lot about this old equipment and stuff like that. And, you know, anybody who's seen the Hutchison lab in Vancouver.
Right.
And, I mean, that's what you work with, a lot of the stuff. I mean, it isn't all state-of-the-art digital, everything. I mean, you work with a lot of the stuff, these effects that you're making, or as far as things that you're making happen, are done with very old solid-state equipment. Am I correct?
Well, pretty much so. I used to work with actual turn-of-the-century kind of equipment. That's how I got into it. And then the lab was taken by the Canadian government. They ran it with and stole 22 tons of equipment. So that's that. Me back in the way, and I got re-involved in this through experimenting and working with RF generation equipment and other machines here to getting into mil-spec Navy standards equipment, which I can actually do a lot of experiments on demand.
Oh.
Well, so there's no waiting time periods, really. It's we had last week, we're doing a demonstration every day for Dr. Ludwig of Germany. And within 5 minutes of just turning everything on, that we got some major effects.
Are you listed with, like, the...
What
are they called? The Visitors and Convention Bureau of Vancouver? Because it seems to be people come from all
the
over
mayor,
the world.
Mayor of New Westminster... The mayor, am I right? No, not yet. But the mayor of New Westminster was here a couple of years ago, along with an alderman, a councilman, and... It does bring a lot of people to this area.
It does. It has to.
They're standing outside taking pictures and stuff like that.
I think it's incredible. You've become a destination too, John.
Oh, good heavens!
I'm gonna go wherever John is, and I'm gonna see that effect. You know, and I think that's amazing.
Well, you know. you mentioned also too, and I don't, you know, the story of John Hutchison, you know, because we, I will be honest with you, John, I try to follow it the best I can as far as what's going on with you, and you know, and you just mentioned a minute ago, like the Canadian government actually took some of your equipment. Was that recently, or was this in the past?
Oh, this is in the past, way back in, let's see, 1990. They made their Vancouver newspapers and news media.
22 and tons of equipment they took?
22 tons it weighed out to.
Do we know what, did they tell you why they were doing this? What was the reasoning behind it?
No, nothing. They didn't want, all different stories I heard, and the lawyers were actually involved in this, and the Supreme Court was involved in all this stuff. And there's a Supreme Court order to protect the lab, but they just walked right over that. Because I was in Germany at the time.
Oh, really?
I got into a dispute with some people that I got involved with from Boeing. So the lawyers and that took over, and they said, well, this lab is under Supreme Court ruling to be not damaged in any way. But anyway, it was damaged.
Oh, no.
When I was in Germany, and I got the news stories from the journalists over in Germany.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So you're, like, completely out of the country, and they're disassembling your lab.
Pretty much so.
Oh.
So when I got back here, I was handed documents and papers. Oh, it was an environmental issue. And then I went on to say, oh, it was foreign technology was not allowed out and all this other different stories. So I thought, okay. I don't know. I just never pursued any lawsuits against it, but I decided, well, okay. This is Canada. I'm not wanted here. So I'll just return back to Germany by invitation, actually.
Mm.
But that didn't happen. I was more or less invited by the Japanese school there, and which I did do on lecture tours. And then as time passed on, I just sort of settled in New West here and did all this stuff here and got involved with the Artificial Reef Society of British Columbia, taking apart Navy ships. Kind of thing, so.
Have you ever considered writing a book, John? Just an autobiography
about
yourself?
Oh, yes, I really want to do that. I want to write my Fox Mulder's life story.
Because
well,
you know,
that's what I want to read. That.
Well, you're one of those people, John. You know, some people you meet in life, you know, you kind of can tell where the, you know, point A to point B to point C, right? You kind of know where they've gone, right? They kind of know how they went. But with you, John, and I mean this in a completely great way, too. I mean, when I talk to you every time, we hear something new that's happened to you in the past or has happened to you recently. And it isn't something like, I had changed the color of my hair. No, it's something like they disassembled 22 tons of my equipment in my lab and took it. Right? So.
It is, John. It is absolutely incredible to be able to learn.
Yeah.
And it is. There's always something new to learn about you. Is there a, we do. If we had a, you know, this is the roadmap of.
Yeah,
John Hutchison's.
John's would like look
career
like a swirly. It'd be all over the place.
It would be awesome. It would be totally awesome.
John, we're gonna take a quick break here. When we come back, though, I want to ask for your formal permission on this before we go to. And it's not because we're on the air either. But you mentioned the Philadelphia experiment, right?
Yes.
We've done a lot of talking about that, but I'd like if you want to, I'd like to talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. I know you're working on this stuff presently still. I'm wondering if there was any new progress with the experiment. Experiments that you're working on. Would you like to do that?
I would love to. I actually done a few experiments the other day, and they turned out rather unique.
Well, why don't we hit that up?
Wait.
Yeah. Let's hit that up on the other side of this break. We'll be right back after this. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind. There's no flowing gown. There's no crystal ball. There's just me, Christy, psychic medium. I'm a spirit medium since the tender age of 3, and I'm dedicated and passionate about my work. I perform all my readings with honesty, integrity, and the other side has a sense of humor, so I use that too. Let me help clear the cobwebs of confusion in your life. At some point in everyone's life, direction is needed, and I'm here as a friend and as a counselor to help give you insight. I do instant message readings, email readings, phone readings, and if you're in the Michigan area, I do in-person readings. Visit my website at www.tangledwishes.com.
Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
He wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
I just take my glasses off.
And as usual, some surprising guest.
Now he's going to contract the viewer of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
I am dropping the ball tonight.
The ball has been dropped?
Way to go.
That's what that sound was.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It wasn't a bouncing ball. It was a heavy lead ball.
Kaboom.
I just can't.
Yeah, if we had a nice little Hutchison field, we'd be
able to suspend it. Yeah.
Yeah, we would suspend it, and then the ball wouldn't be dropped.
Yeah,
no, we don't.
It's these nights sometimes where I'm like half in the bag.
Well, we were at a Christmas
half asleep. No, I'll have you know.
We are half in the bag.
Yeah, I'm gonna pimp these guys because they're a local place here, and I think they're independent businessmen.
Yeah.
And I've kind of watched this place evolve over the years in the Warren area here. This place called the Coonan Brewery, actually. Me and Amber went there last weekend and just hung out for a little bit. It's a nice little bar, nice little quiet place, and it's an independent brewery. They do all their own brewing. They do beer and wine there. And Amber has found this bottle of Coonan. It's like blueberry pina or whatever, some wine stuff, right? But we brought this bottle to the party last night. I had about maybe three sips of the stuff, and that's what you do with wine is you just sip it. Mm. And I'm not a wine drinker, really, but, man, this stuff was really good.
Well,
that was the extent of my drinking last night. So I had a couple of sips of wine. But, yeah, I'm tired today. I'm just like, I think it's showing in my engineering work tonight. I'm just like dropping the ball here. I'm forgetting to bring up levels there. I keep leaving people in when I shouldn't. Sorry about that, folks. I'm working on it. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
And we have.
And I'm Bonnie.
Oh, yeah, Bonnie's here. Bonnie, you need to.
Smiling faces.
I'm a dead man because Bonnie's gonna hurt me next week. That's one thing I did too is I lopped her off when we were going to break last time too. I think I heard her go and we were already in break or whatever. So sorry about that, Bonnie.
That's okay.
All right, cool. John, we have talked about this subject several times on this show in the past. Especially, we've had special shows in the past with you here, and that is the Philadelphia Experiment. And I think it's like on our top three of the most interesting things we've ever encountered doing this show or as paranormal researchers ourselves. There's just nothing like this topic. I mean, as far as this event and anything for discussion, we've been blown away for every person we've talked to about this, especially with yourself, John, because you're still doing experiments with this and doing work on this. And you said when we were on break that you were doing some experiments just a couple of days ago. Am I correct?
That's correct, yes. I was having some fun with that small Navy ship that's only a foot long and got the water levitating all over the place and out of there, and it all turned into this foamy-looking weird stuff around the ship. And some strange lights and things were happening. And what I did was videotape it at the same time as well as I took photographs of it. And what I do with the photographs, since I've got a digital camera now, I download it into the computer and then put it on the blog site. So there's a bunch of photos of the water levitating there and some other strange effects that happened during my little toy boat experiments.
And that's on your blog site right now as we speak?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, you know what's interesting? He's reaching for the keyboard as we speak. You know what's interesting, John?
Reaching for my pen, actually. Oh, for your pen. I'm trying to find.
John K.
No. I'm writing mistakes down.
Oh, okay.
So I can fix them.
Fix them in post.
My little messes up.
Well, we're keeping a list now.
Well, evidently we have to for this.
And I'm checking it twice, too.
All right.
Oh, yeah, look at me.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Har, har.
If you click on my profile there under blog, the main blog is Waiting on the Edge of Forever. And if you click on the profile, it'll take you to. There's several Hutchison effects, like Hutchison effect 2006, but the latest one is Hutchison Effect 2008, where all the neat photos are.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. You know what's interesting with the water suspending in the air and the foam and that kind of thing? It actually sounds more like some of the descriptions of Bermuda Triangle effects.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, I guess what would you expect if you put this Hutchison effect in, a situation where you had water, I don't know what I would expect. Perhaps that, you know.
We're actually on... For those of you, again, I just want to mention this. If you, we're actually at the John, you know, John Hutchison's blogspot site. It's johnkhutchison.blogspot.com, and we're actually we're here right now. And you said waiting on the edge of forever. I'm sorry, what was that, John?
If you click on his picture up top.
Okay, what's that? Let me see.
It should open up.
I see. Oh my God! I see two squirrels. Oh my goodness!
Oh, there, you're on target. The F2 squirrels. yes, two squirrels having a good time.
Well, I'm trying to. Okay, so where do I? You said
the talking frog.
Yeah, I see the talking frog, and then I see a picture of you throwing the peace symbol in front of some huge piece of equipment.
Exactly.
Great.
Me.
Now there's a. Okay, so I see. Okay, I just got to find the view complete. Do I click on
profile?
That's what I do? Okay. Yeah. I'm not a Blogspot guy, so I don't know. I'm learning this stuff along with everybody
else.
Well,
we will be soon.
All right,
see profile.
All right,
soon as Bonnie hooks us up so that we're...
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So I'm looking for this Philadelphia experiment, the stuff that you were doing. You said, what do we have to click on again? I'm sorry, John.
Okay, I think you click on my profile and list all the other things I put up there.
Okay, let's see
and
here.
This,
engineering, engineering productions, production. Let me see here. Favorite. I don't know.
Oh, there's a list. Blogs.
Yep. Okay. All right. Cool.
Oh, very, very sweet.
So these are all the blogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I see how that works.
All right, now we're figuring it out. We're learning with you tonight, John.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Japanese lecture tours. I mean, yeah. There's this thing. You put all your stuff into this thing, like you said before.
Yep, like a filing cabinet, so people can poke through it and leave comments if they want. And
I gotta find this video. I want to find this video. Previous.
Well, I don't have video. I don't have used the videos yet, but on that thing, I have all the videos here.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 hours of new footage.
Mm-hmm.
But the pictures I put up, I can put pictures up there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, everybody hop on over there if you want to see some John in action.
Right.
John K. Hutchison at blogspot.com. Now, you said that you were getting pictures, you were running this thing, and you said, what I found interesting is that around, and we've actually looked at video of this on the air here, where with your little one-foot, you know, your little one-foot model you have of your ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said that the water foamed up or something like that around the ship?
Well, the water started lifting out of the container, and actually it lifted out quite a bit and dampened everything around it, around the container.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of just boiled out real fast, and I took, the video camera was always running, and I took some pictures with a digital camera I bought. And the pictures were quite amazing. They show the actual motion of the droplets of water and bubbles of water coming out of there.
Now, dare I ask this question?
You may.
Did the ship disappear?
Well, no. I'm wondering, okay, you know, and I'm a complete and utter novice at this stuff. You're the master, John. You're running these experiments. You're getting things like water lifting up and stuff like that. Dare I ask why this is going on? Do you have any, do you have an idea of why you're getting these effects from these experiments like this?
Well, it's distorting of gravity, graviton particles and time particles, I'm sure of it.
Wow.
I really believe that, and more so since there's more evidence of quantum physics being involved here and zero-point energy.
Oh, my God.
There's all kinds of weird things that happen. Well, that used to be, if, I don't know if you're in there yet, but that used to be my bedroom.
Well, became the lab. So as you do these experiments more and more and more, you're absolutely convinced that the popular story, the one that they use to scare kids, or the one that you talk about on, you know, the fall nights, you know, the ship and disappear and, you know, people melding into the ship. This is more and more looking like it could be a reality.
Oh, very much so, yes. Yep.
Wow.
Well, yes. Oh, yeah.
That sends shivers down my spine, and of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Though, yeah.
We had some metal samples that happened there in that in the bedroom, and that sounds strange. But in, I mean, this is an apartment that's been converted, re-engineered, actually, literally into. You would never know it. It looks, if you're sitting in here, it looks like a warship.
Wow. Well, I've seen cool. I've seen some of the pictures. I mean,
and it
just your patio, John. Just the patio. I mean, you look at this. It's an apartment building. I mean, what story are you on there in that apartment building, John?
Third story.
Yeah, third story. You look. I've seen pictures like side view of the building, and you have, you know, an apartment building. You have, you know, people with their flower pots on their patio, people with their grills on their patio, and then you see John with a radar dish on his patio, right?
Yes. Anti-aircraft gun and what else?
Of course.
All kinds of searchlights too.
Yeah. I mean, and it's I mean, we all know it's hilarious, but you're doing all this work, though. I mean, it isn't just, you know, for show. You're using this equipment, and that's, I think that's what, you know, makes everything such a unique. It's a unique thing. It's what makes you who you are, John. But you're doing these experiments with the, again, with the Philadelphia experiment. And I know you just mentioned a second ago, Doug. I mean, are you still working towards? I know when there was, you know, with the old project. I don't know. Well,
we don't know the status.
We don't know the status, but are you pushing towards trying to maybe put this thing on a larger scale still, John?
Oh, I'd love to put it on a larger scale. It all depends on how much money Hollywood wants to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it with a decommissioned warship. A small frigate size, I think, would be just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I'm quite familiar with warships. I had a lot of training when I worked with the Reef Society and studied everything there about the from the cannons right down to the sonar systems. So I think I can pull it off.
And we mentioned again, when we mentioned back then, I'll mention again, you need to have us come out there, John. We need
if only
to
we had a Howard Hughes nowadays or something like that. You know, I mean, that would just be insanely cool.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to witness something like this. I mean, even on a small scale, it would be fascinating to actually see something like this go down live now with people, you know, in a controlled environment like that I know that you would set up, John. Would just be, I can't even describe how amazing that would be to see something like this happen. On a larger scale, though, I mean, safety is always the key. I mean, that's something we've talked about before is safety in one of these things. I mean, let's just say worst-case scenario, if something was to go wrong, do you know what possibly could go wrong? What could be the worst-case scenario if you threw the switch on this thing and it didn't go the way it should? Could there be some serious problems as a result of this?
Could very possibly be, yes.
So sign a disclaimer before.
Yeah, sign a disclaimer.
This is on a full-scale, high tension situation.
Yeah.
Which would probably be down off of someplace off of Malibu or whatever. They would do it if they're going to do it on that scale. If not, then it'd be probably a four-foot model, but still it would be highly dangerous.
Even with a four-foot model?
Yep.
Well, that's we've wondered, because, you know, we've watched the videotapes, the Bill Nell videotapes.
Well, the thing is, they would have, Hollywood would have a team of people.
I think, unfortunately, we wouldn't be welcome there either.
No, probably not, but they'd have a team of people
who
there.
Who are these guys? No, go back to Michigan.
You guys can stay three cities away.
Yeah.
They would have a team of people ensuring everyone's safety and everything, I'm sure, I just really think that after having seen some of those videos early on, some of the newer things that have been going on, I'm really convinced that it's possible and that it probably happened.
Yeah,
the Philadelphia experiment, I mean, and I am convinced also that if anybody can pull it off and say, "Look, I can do it again," it would be John Hutchinson.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think it was
not bad yet?
Yeah,
so there we go. Unanimous.
Bonnie's verifying it.
Yes,
John. Do you think though, back then when this originally went down, right, when the Philadelphia experiment was originally going on, do you think it was the results that they supposedly got that we've been told they got, right? Do you think it was an intentional thing that we weren't told about, or do you think it maybe was just an accident that they didn't realize the results they were going to get out of that?
Well, I think really it was just a situation where they weren't expecting anything like that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This particular ship, Eldridge, was loaded down with a lot of equipment, and it was basically it was called Project Rainbow, but it was basically to deflect mines and make it partially invisible to sensing radars.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing just simply vanished and reappeared somewhere else, and we came back, and then When it did, for that brief moment in time, a lot of the sailors were trapped in the metals. And
yeah, yeah.
It's also exploring ships, especially ships that haven't had any destroyer life extension, they call it. Looking at some of the gigantic coils on these things and transmission equipment, I just said, wow, I can see where this would really happen. And in the 1940s, yes. What I was looking at was the early 50s, equipment that had never been taken off of it. HMCS Columbia had all these massive coil rooms and transmitters. And I could see stuff phasing in and out of existence if this stuff was put in a different format.
But there's also related stories of time. I mean, because the Eldridge had disappeared in, you know, from the time of the experiment and then reappeared, like, I think it was, what, off the coast of Long Island or something at a different time frame and then went back to where it was with all the issues. There's all, you know, with the, you know, sailors in the decks and things like that. Then we have also a story, I don't know if it's related exactly to the Philadelphia experiment, though in my mind it's filed under that heading, of two soldiers landing at an airstrip in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe that's Bermuda. Triangle story, but two people were flying this old plane, and they landed a airstrip in Ohio.
Yeah,
and they immediately got arrested because
they weren't from that era.
They weren't from that
year.
Time,
yeah.
That year or that flight or that, you know, their
that was a Bill Nell story. I think
that was a Bill Nell story.
That's what Bill told us. Yeah, there was all these crazy events that went on around the Philadelphia experiment. It sounds like too before and after. That we've heard, you know, our friend Bill Nell, which we, God, you want to talk about a round table? Maybe we should do that.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to discuss that one. But
can you
imagine? We should introduce you to our friend Bill Nell, John, who's really into the Philadelphia experiment. It might be very cool to put you guys together.
And all the related things, including the time travel aspect of it, which to me, I don't know. Is time another, like, okay, we know matter, energy, same thing, different phases, different, you know, wavelengths or whatever it is. Also, in between our atoms, we're not very solid. This table here isn't solid. You know, nothing's solid because you've got more space in there than anything, really.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because the electrons have to be outside, you know, floating around the, you know, whatever. Okay, so anyway, so we've got space. Okay.
Professor Doug.
Professor Doug, yeah. I would not be a very good professor at this point. Too tired.
You have all this stuff in between your
atoms. Yeah, you have stuff in between your atoms. Space, I think. Is
space
time
and subatomic particles that make the other ones exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's when you get into gravitons and time particles. There's an experiment that was done in, a couple of years ago, I believe it was. Yeah, it was the South Pole. And they're doing tests with weather balloons. And when they put this weather balloon up to chronometers, went back to 1965. It's a repeatable experiment by two known scientists. I don't have the papers with me here, but that whole thing made it right directly to the White House. So in nature, some of this actually does happen. Same as Booker Bay, Australia. They had the same kind of situation there. I have some of the documents on that. It was covered by Dr. Hal Pudoff, Paul Devereaux, and some others. As a very strange situation, and was covered by Channel 4, I guess UK or Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed at the report. It was labeled as sensitive, and then I passed it to one of my friends that worked with me in doing the levitation. He read it over too. So this stuff actually happens in nature.
So these are all aspects of the same thing: matter, energy, gravity and time. Is it the same thing, or are they different different things that are codependent on each other?
Well, they're all codependent and also dependent on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like four states of matter, five states of matter, they all have to exist. Each of them has to exist for the others to exist too. So, like the grand unified field theory, it's always been in the debate of the Einsteinian thinking people, but really, I think it's all that's all one unit.
Well, then, what have we been saying the whole time here, Doug, for the last 3 or 4 years?
Everything's interrelated.
Everything is related somehow. There's some kind of glue there, and I think that's the real. You know, John, what do you think about that? I mean, because we said that about the paranormal, but you know, it's all somehow related. I think the real challenge to understanding this stuff is understanding how it's all related.
I agree. It's and quantum physics seems to be proving it out too. If you think of something from your mind, you can activate something in the future that will come true to you later on.
Lottery.
I've been noticing this a little bit, and I was watching actually when I was in Scottsdale. I was looking at a television show on Discovery about all the quantum physics and what people would think. Goes into another dimension, brings back other things.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff I've been reading about, so in the 1980s when Colonel Bearden, Ronald Reagan, all these guys were into this stuff very heavily, into the Star Wars project and also causing the mighty Zarg to come out of another dimension and rip and apart stuff and throw it around,
mm-hmm.
which was written in a book by a journalist actually covering the entire adventure.
Well, it's topical that you brought up these things that happened back then, because I know Andy, who's coming up next here for the last hour of the show, one of the things he wants to talk about is the actual conspiratorial things that have been going on for the last 20 years as far as our media, our government, and in the paranormal also. So maybe we can get some answers from Andy possibly along with you on that, John. People have been and that's what I keep saying, I think, and I've been saying it, I say someone blue in the face, is how, we know, I think that a lot of these things really do exist. A lot of things happen. You've proved that these things happen, John, time and time again.
And people have filmed it.
Yeah, people have filmed it. And my thing is still, and I know it's yours too, Doug, is that, okay, we know it's working. How is it working? What's the mechanics of it? What's the glue? How is it related?
Why hasn't MIT... set up your lab in their lab,
John.
And then had all these little kids, not little kids, but all these young adults, okay, now you throw the switch, and you write it down. And, it just seems like they should, this is something that they should, totally latch on to and,
mm-hmm.
and measure and explain, and then I want the gizmos from
it. Yeah, let's.
I want to have a floating cell phone. Just follow me wherever I
go. Now, John,
I don't even want to have to hold the cell phone up to my head. I wanted to do it
because I hate that. I agree having to because I don't. I'm not. I'm anti Bluetooth, right?
Right.
I'm anti Bluetooth
because it's got an echo.
Oh my!
Yeah. Oh, I just think you look ridiculous wearing them.
Yeah.
Well, no,
too.
You don't look ridiculous when you're on the phone if you're sitting somewhere and you're in a meeting or something like that. But when you're walking into a restaurant and you're clearly not talking on your phone, but you have to have your Bluetooth on your ear so you look important, right? I think that's ridiculous. But it would be very nice, John, if you could invent us a floating cell phone that we could just, like, have floating along, like our little...
And then when it rings, it just, like, moves towards your head.
Like our little Yoshi in Super Mario Brothers or whatever.
Right,
the little guy
right.
that follows us around, right? John, I'm expecting some results from this immediately, sir.
Yeah,
I want
okay,
the gizmos.
I'll get out right away, this floating cell phone.
I want the gizmos. That's just one of the many gizmos I'd like, yes.
John, unfortunately, we are at 8 o'clock here. We have to drop off, but, again, it's been so good talking to you again. We haven't had you on the show in a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and it's just good to have you back again and hear what you're doing. And per usual,
thanks
you're...
Thanks for singing for me, John.
Oh, yeah.
My pleasure, ma'am. Always. John, for it, always.
John was singing Jingle Bells to Bonnie on the
Oh,
break.
That was so sweet of him. I was getting ice, otherwise I'd be really, really grouchy right now.
John, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
And don't forget, it's johnkhutchison.blogspot.com for pictures and write-ups of all the different things that he's going on. It's an ongoing saga.
There's also,
believe me,
what
a saga. What
a saga. There's also hutchisoneffect.ca, but that may not be there for too long, but check it out anyway.
This is the front thing, the searchable thing.
Dear friend of the show here, John, we love having him on. We're going to have him on a lot more. And I'm seriously, I'm not doing this to put him on the spot, but
I'd love being put on the spot.
I think we should get Bill Mell on the show with John Hutchison. Compare notes.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Well, there we go.
For the listeners that are out there that know what we're talking about, which a lot of them do, they're probably going, oh, my God, these guys have lost their minds completely,
But I have to say, when I thought, okay, what would be really cool is to put Mark Macy and Marcus Leder together. That I thought would be like the coolest thing, and it turned out to be really, really helpful to us.
Yeah,
because I learned a lot.
We learned a lot.
We got the same thing here.
I think we
John Hutchison and Bill Nell.
Stay tuned. Coming at you in 2008. I think we're going to
that's going to be a goal. Let's make that a goal or a New Year's resolution. You guys, of course, we're going to change the link. We're going to make sure that the link points to his blog.
Yeah, we'll have all taken care of.
That'll be all up at ghostlytalk.com, but it is John K. Hutchison at blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. And coming up, Andy Colvin. We're going to be talking about conspiracies. Mothman. Point Pleasant, one of our favorite topics.
And this guy's an artist, too. That's the weirdest thing.
Awesome.
We'll be right back after this.